As I mentioned, I just returned from the Holy Land, and it was a great pilgrimage, a great time to receive grace upon grace from the Lord, especially in all of the holy sites. I was able to travel with my parents and with a small group of about 30. And we started in the north around the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus did most of his ministry, then went down the Jordan River and stopped at our Lord's baptismal site. And then we end in the holy city of Jerusalem. Of course, for the Jews, Jerusalem was that holy city, that promised land given to them by the Father. And Jerusalem, at its core, has a temple, the Temple Mount. It's the most important, it's the most contested place in the holy city. You know this because when you visit, you have to go through a metal detector. It's the only place in all of the Holy Land that we visited, you have to go through a metal detector. So you know there's something about this place. It's important. It's contested. And we have to examine the temple today on this feast of the presentation of our Lord in the temple if we're really going to understand the significance of this feast for us as Christians. So we have to start all the way back to Abraham and his son Isaac, the patriarchs. God the Father came to Abraham and said, "You must sacrifice your son Isaac on Mount Moriah." This historically is the place where the temple today is found, Mount Moriah. So it's always been a place of sacrifice. But before Abraham slayed his son Isaac, of course, the angel stopped his hand and told him there will be a time for sacrifice later. But then fast forward from Abraham to around 3,000 years ago, around the year 1000 BC, David and then his son Solomon had entered the promised land given to Moses after the Exodus from Egypt. And now Solomon, the son of David the king, wanted to build a temple, a shrine to our Lord, a place of sacrifice and worship, a place to enshrine in what they called the Holy of Holies, that most precious possession of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark contained within it some of the manna that Moses and the Israelites had received in the desert. It had the Ten Commandments on those two stone tablets and Aaron's staff. So within this Ark of the Covenant, they place it into the Holy of Holies, this holiest of places in the holiest of cities, Jerusalem. And 3,000 years ago, the Jews worshiped here and they made sacrifice. But then around the year 600 BC, the temple is destroyed. The Babylonians conquer Jerusalem, and again, the Israelites are removed from the promised land. They're exiled into Babylon. And so the temple, that place of God's presence, that place of worship and sacrifice, is left in ruin. And it's left in ruin for some 70 years until Israel comes back into the promised land after the exile. And what do? They build a second temple. They build it even more glorious than the first. This one is enshrined with all the gold that they had brought back from Babylon. But it was missing one thing, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was captured after the conquest of the Babylonians, no longer to be found. But still, they build this grand temple, a place for sacrifice and worship. Even around the time of Jesus, Herod helped build it back for 46 years with a great wall around it. We still see those walls today. I was able to do an excavation tour, and the foundations of this exterior wall are stones as long as that wall to that wall, as big as a city bus, weighing 500 tons. They don't even know how they brought them here. But they brought them to designate this place of God's dwelling, his holy place. And so that second temple stood on Mount Moriah, that place of Isaac and Abraham. It stood there until 70 AD, after the death and resurrection of Christ, when the Romans would come in again to Jerusalem and destroy the second temple. And from that day till now, the temple has been destroyed. Jesus, of course, prophesied, "Not a stone will be left upon another stone." And now today, since around the time of 7 AD, the Muslims are on top of the Temple Mount. This has become a place of pilgrimage for them, in that Muhammad, their prophet, visited this place and had a mystical experience. And the Jews are outside the Western Wall, that exterior wall that Herod built. It's the only place that the Jews can go lawfully. It's the only place where they can go, and of course you know they wail and they weep. It's what we call the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. And so it's this place of contention, this place of importance for the Jews outside the Western Wall, for the Muslims on top of the Temple Mount. But what about us Christians? Where do we fit into the temple? Why do we celebrate this feast day today of the presentation of our Lord in the temple? Certainly our Lord visited the temple. He visited the feast day that we celebrate today in his presentation. Certainly as a faithful Jew, he would have gone up to the temple, that second temple of Herod, 3 times a year to sacrifice and worship. We know when he was around 12 years old, he was found in the temple. When he began his public ministry, he went to the temple. He preached. He healed the blind and lame in the temple. And then we have that famous story of his cleansing the temple. St. John in his gospel writes about this. He records Jesus' words, "Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." And of course, the Jews said, "It took us 46 years to build this temple, and you'll rebuild it in 3 days?" But then John, the author, puts in a commentary. He was speaking of the temple of his body. This is the fulfillment, brothers and sisters, as we Christians celebrate the temple. Not a temple made of stone and mortar and gold and wood, but the temple of Jesus. He is our temple. And so we see the fulfillment of this today in our readings. First from the prophet Malachi. Malachi lived around that time of the Babylonian exile when they were rebuilding the temple. But he knew that the temple they would rebuild would not be complete. It didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. It didn't have that place that where God's place would reside in the Holy of Holies, where the manna and the law resided. And so Malachi prophesied around that time of the second temple, "Suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek." There will be a day, Malachi said, when our Lord will come back into the temple. He's left it for now, but he will return. And we have Malachi linked with the Gospel of Luke today. And when our Lord does return, he doesn't return with trumpets. He returns as an infant. He comes in being held in the arms of his mother, Mary, the Ark of the Covenant, the new Ark, who would bring that new manna, the bread come down from heaven, who would bring the fulfillment of the law and the prophets back into the temple. Mary, the Ark, comes into the temple holding the very presence of God. And then you have this figure, Simeon, a man we hear is filled with the Holy Spirit. And upon seeing our Lord come back into the temple, Simeon proclaims prophetically, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The temple in Jerusalem is a cool sight. It's a holy site. It's a site we can revere, especially as our brothers and sisters of different faiths worship there and pray there. But it's not particularly a site for us. The site of the temple for us is Jesus. Jesus, who is that presence of God among us, the manna come down from heaven, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Jesus is the light of the nations. When that light came into the temple, he shone forth for all peoples. He came to extend the walls of the temple further than Herod had, further than we had ever seen. Jesus came for all peoples, Jews and Gentiles. And then we learn from St. Paul that his extension comes even to us. St. Paul tells the Corinthians, "Do you not know that you, my brothers and sisters, are temples of the Holy Spirit?" This is the truth. This is the reality of our faith. That just as Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit, as Mary and Elizabeth and John the Baptist in Luke's gospel were filled with the Holy Spirit, when at the day of Pentecost and the Acts of the Apostles, all were filled with the Holy Spirit. So every Christian man and every Christian woman becomes a temple, a place where our Lord can make sacrifice, a place where our Lord can give us consolation and light. So as we celebrate these mysteries of the presentation of our Lord, let us worship here. Let us worship here on this altar where sacrifice will be made. Let us worship in our hearts where sacrifice will be made. And let us give ourselves to Christ, saying, "Lord, you are the light of the world. You are that bread come down from heaven. Fill us with your glory."